Hi there, I'm Kathleen Auger.
And I'm Paul Auger, and welcome to Taming Tech, the podcast, episode number 4.
In today's conversation, Paul speaks with the Dutch developer, Ruben Bass, about a widget he has developed that facilitates conversation on websites using a variety of platforms.
Yeah, like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and things like that. So it's instead of using your normal live chat through a CRM system, it just makes it easier. It's what you're using currently in your everyday life.
It finds the users where they are with the platforms that they like to use. The widget is called Buoy, as in the life preserver, the goodie you throw in the ocean to throw a line to somebody to help somebody, to reach out to somebody.
I think that's a perfect metaphor for what this widget actually does. It allows you to connect with people through a lifeline, a connection, a WhatsApp, a Facebook Messenger, a support call. I first discovered Ruben about 6 months ago when he posted Buoy to Reddit asking for feedback. And I thought this is exactly what we want for our websites. We want a very simple way of communicating with our clients, and how it was integrated with WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, it allowed us to have it very, very quickly with one line of code or one WordPress plugin to have it on our website cleverly, easily.
Yeah. And from the response that we've seen, people really seem to like being able to choose the medium of communication they prefer, whether it be a phone call or a WhatsApp, or even an email.
And they can even book time with me on Calendly. So to facilitate quick and easy communication from your website, all you have to do is go and install this Buoy button on your website.
This is a side hustle for Ruben. He has a full-time job, and he has developed this product and another product that he mentions in this conversation with Paul. Yeah, anybody who's interested in the side hustle, how somebody has, what they've done with the side hustle, a company that's 6 months old.
A little bit into the marketing of how they've...
Yeah, a little bit into the marketing, the things that are easy, the things that are difficult. Also people who are interested in a plugin that would work on their website that's quick and easy and really provides a lot of advantages. Without any further ado, let's get into the conversation and find out more about Ruben and his great product.
Okay, a little bit of further ado. The show notes are found at taming.tech/4, and all the links and products that are mentioned in this episode, you'll be able to find all their references and links there.
We'll also be back after the interview to break it down and discuss our take on it and what we thought about the interview. Enjoy.
Hi there, Ruben. How are you doing?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, I'm very good. How about you?
Yeah, I can't complain. I am sitting and it's 7 o'clock at night here in South Africa, and it's probably about the same time in the Netherlands there. I can see out your window there. It's just sort of like twilight. It's quite a beautiful shot there.
Yeah, right. It's getting darker and darker. You can still see a little bit of light, but not that much anymore. So the evening is popping up soon.
Oh, looks like a beautiful evening there. And you got, and you, where are you based in the Netherlands?
I'm currently in a very small village, but it's very near to Utrecht, which is in the center of the Netherlands, in the middle, basically.
Okay. My father was actually born in The Hague.
All right. Yeah, that's more on the left side of the Netherlands. Yeah.
Yes, but I must say that I've been to Holland once. Once, yes. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the canals in Amsterdam, and we went all the way up to the north with Volendam and Markham and things like that. It was the middle of winter, so it was bloody cold by the North Sea there, but it really was it's a beautiful country.
Yeah, thanks. Well, it's always cold almost, so that's that's something that you get used to. But of course, yeah, I think if people visit the Netherlands, they think it's very beautiful, I would assume. But living there myself, yeah, at some moment you get used to all of the things. So I'm thinking everything is very standard and everything is very, very plain. There's no hills or no mountains, etc. Yes. So I really like to go to other countries where there are like these big mountains and large hills and nice forests.
So it's the old thing of your thing is boring, everyone else is exciting. The grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah, definitely.
No, that's cool. That's cool. So what we normally do with this podcast to start off with is we start with a thing called the quick questions, and the quick questions allows the listeners to get to know you quickly. So are you ready?
Yeah.
What was your first cell phone?
First cell phone, a Nokia 3310, right? Oh. I'm not sure how you pronounce it in English, but
yes, no, it's Nokia. That's fine. That's perfect. Those are the ones that are going to sort of like be, it's going to be Nokia 3310s and the cockroaches that are left at the end of the world.
Yeah, definitely. It was so strong, and it was very, actually, at the time it was an awesome phone, because when you had that phone, you were like the best kid of the school, so to say. So if you had it, you could pop in these ringtones with dialing in all the tunes. You can find them online. It was an amazing time, but I actually had to save a lot of money at that time to get one. But I was very happy to have one at the end. Yeah.
No, I think there was the Nokia 3310s, and you could change the front and the back covers, and then you could even do the leather covers to sort of like protect it. And I thought that was just a waste of time, because even if you did drop it, you just put them back together again.
Yeah, it was almost unbreakable, right? And I know about these covers, and I was thinking about them just now, because I really wanted to have like all these flashy ones. They were quite expensive, actually. So in the end, I just had the regular blue one, but it was a cool phone. Yeah.
Okay, so you live in the Netherlands, as we've spoken about. Have you ever been out of the country? What other countries have you visited?
Quite a lot, actually. So of course, most of the countries in Europe I visited. So like France, Germany, Luxembourg, Spain, Portugal, Greece, Italy, but also some other countries. So I've been to Bosnia. My girlfriend is from Bosnia. Okay. So I visited that place. Very interesting. Last year I visited China just before the COVID. Okay. And the year before I went to Peru, Vietnam, quite a lot of places, actually.
That's beautiful.
Really awesome. I really like to go just to a totally different culture, experience that and really enjoy that. Really like that.
I'm very jealous. There's some countries in there that you mentioned that I'm itching to go to. And as soon as COVID is over and we're allowed to travel again, I'm on an airplane. So what do you consider yourself very good at?
I'm a very quick learner, I would say. So that's also the thing that I have to do in my regular day job. I really have to, each day I have to learn almost something new and really dive into that very quickly and help. I'm in consultancy, right? So I'm helping clients to deal with their problems and getting those resolved as soon as possible.
So we'll get into that just now, but you're a consultant for Ernst & Young right now.
Yeah.
And what are you doing with them? What are you consulting?
I'm actually in the IT consulting area.
Okay.
But although it is quite flexible. So at the moment I'm supporting a client with transaction reporting. So there's more of a regulatory activity. On previous project, I've done something around accounting. So it's also more of a regulatory, but I've also supported large IT transformations. I'm also supporting and helping clients in agile transformation. I really like that, to become more agile, more flexible. And I've done IT strategies, quite a lot of things actually.
Okay, so you're fairly well-rounded. You've got a whole bunch of skills. Okay.
Yeah.
Next quick question. There are now 25 hours in a day. How would you spend your extra hour?
All right, so you have one extra hour.
Yes.
The
maths is difficult this time of night.
That's an interesting question. So, because we actually had that recently, right? Because normally I was traveling quite a lot with to clients, and even had a client in The Hague, which you mentioned before. The Hague, Utrecht, that's around 1 hour of a drive, maybe 1:30. So that's quite a lot of hours in the car. And yeah, when COVID came in, everybody had to work from home. So you had lots of additional time, but it was actually consumed fairly easy to say.
With work.
Also with work a little bit, but also in the morning, right? So I just sleep in a little bit more, longer. That's also quite nice, so I'm less sleepy. But also with work, also some more personal activities. I have a little bit more time to do that. So I really like and really enjoy programming. That's really a hobby of mine. So that's something that I really like to do. Do I feel at the moment there's an extra hour? No. you get used to it so fast, so that's annoying. But
no, absolutely.
Yeah, it would be great if to have that additional hour again. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think when we also like go back to, let's say, the regular way of working and have to drive for an hour. I mean, I'm going for my first in-person client meeting, I think next week, Tuesday. And it actually feels weird. I'm going to have to put on grown-up clothes and I'm going to have to sort of like get into the car and I'm going to have to drive. So like I've looked at my calendar now, instead of going onto Zoom for sort of like 2 minutes before, I sort of like make sure I've got my water in there. I now have to plan, I have to drive half an hour beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird how you get used to these things so quickly. But yeah, so now you've mentioned you do programming. So that gets us onto what we're actually talking about here. You've got a plugin, an app, a service, how would you describe it?
Yeah, interesting thing. I would say it's something like a widget that you can use on your website. It's a plug and play widget, I would say, for social conversations. So when somebody is on your website, he's looking for contacting you. I often would like to have the possibility to see what option I like. Right. Yes. So sometimes you see live chat, sometimes you see email, whatever. But as a person, I really like WhatsApp, or maybe somebody else likes Facebook Messenger.
Yes.
And I enjoy to reach out to companies in that same method that I like, instead of using something else. And that's also what I like to give to my users, a possibility to provide all of the contact methods that they have that they really like, so that their visitors, the visitors of my users, so to say, can use that.
Look, I think this is the reason why I really enjoy your service, and it's called Boei, which is a Dutch word for a life preserver, a thing that you throw in the ocean if someone's drowning. Or Boei for the British speakers, or a Boei for the American speakers. So I like this service because we're using it on our websites, and I really enjoy the fact that I don't have to have another service. I don't have to sort of like sign up with another company. I've already got WhatsApp on my phone. I already have Facebook Messenger on my phone. I already have Slack, for instance, on my phone. So if I want to have those particular things, I can then communicate through this exactly the same platforms that I'm used to. I find it brilliant, and I find it amazing that you've been running this for what, 6 months now, 5-6 months?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And it hasn't, I don't know of any other place that has done this before. And I think it's brilliantly clever. It's just very, very simple. And how did you come up with this? Was it just you're irritated by people not having what you wanted on their website and you said like you did it, but how did it actually happen?
Yeah, I was thinking about this this idea for a while, actually. I think even maybe more than 2 years. And okay. I always thought, okay, yeah, it's cool, but it's more of a nice to have. Not sure if we really want to dive into it. And at some moment I thought, okay, let's just do it and build something like that. Because I'm doing developing like as a hobby, right? So
yeah.
I thought, okay, why not do something that I really like? And so I just went for it, made a simple version and posted it online, and people were very interested and very enthusiastic about it. And I thought, wow, this is, I never had this many interest on anything I ever developed. So, well, why not continue with it? And that's basically how it all started. And that still applies, right? So whenever I post it, I get still a lot of people that are very interested in it. They think it's a very cool solution, very simple, but very cool. Yes. And they really like to use it on their website. And yeah, so that's really helping me and convincing me, okay, this is something I should go through with.
Look, I think the thing that's amazing is that you've got the simplistic elements, like going straight into a WhatsApp, going straight into a Facebook Messenger, going straight into a Twitter DM or a Snapchat DM. But you also have the more advanced things. You've got web hooks. You've got the ability to sign up for newsletters. You've got contact forms. Where does it end? Where does it become too complex for what you're actually looking at doing?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's really, at some moment, it's getting too complex. So I made the solution very modular.
Yes.
So all of the things that I'm building, I can easily recreate and change it and build something behind the wheels or behind the what everybody sees on the technical side is quite similar. At the moment, I don't really see an end. So if somebody would say, okay, I like to have this and this service, I'm happy to add that. So yeah, I also gave that a little bit of a thought, and I think that I would like to look at Zapier a little bit. Of course, it's quite a different company, much bigger, et cetera. But the way that how they are operating, that really makes sense to me. So providing lots of possibilities, lots of options that everybody likes, and you can connect a whole bunch of information and a whole bunch of data together to provide the best experience for your users.
Look, I think that Zapier is a beautiful company to model yourself after, because they've got thousands of interactions between thousands of interactions. And the fact that you can actually have those interactions, and you can have someone having, I saw that if you sign up with a newsletter, you can also have it ping you on your Slack. You can also have it sending you an email. I'd love to say that there was an end, but I actually don't think that there should be. There's so many things that you can do with it. And I might like to just have WhatsApp on my website and say, that's how people contact me. But other people might want six different versions. I mean, you've even got the ability to have Calendly linked. And I love Calendly. And I think that that's brilliant in terms of connecting people and making appointments. So, I mean, I think that the thing that I'm actually asking here is, what is your typical client? Is it a lean startup? Is it someone who's had a website for years? Do you know who your client is, your user?
Yeah. So at the moment, what I really see, like large percentages of users, is typically web designers. So apparently they really like it.
Yes.
I would say personal blogs. That's also some area of people think it's very interesting. But it's probably also due to the fact that I did some marketing, but mostly for these kinds of people. Mm. So instead of marketed directly to web shops or so, those kinds of areas or those kinds of businesses, I've not really done that yet. So I would say there's also a large benefit for them. And I also see, I recently saw a German web shop, I think, and recently also have had a Greece sign up from Greece on a, I think it was an e-commerce store as well. So there's like tons of people that just finding out about Bui and think, okay, this is really interesting, and they want to add it to their website. And that's also a little bit of the model. So you have like a couple of versions, and when you have the free version, you have a really tiny, really small link to Bui. If your users see it, they will probably not even see it, right? So
it is very tiny.
Yeah. But if you think, okay, this is cool, I would like to have it on my website, then you're searching for these kind of cues. Well, okay, where is it coming from? And then you can find it. And that's also the way I see it growing. I see people clicking that link and going to Bui and create their own button.
Look, the thing that I find interesting about it, and correct me if I'm wrong. So there's a plugin that you load on your website, which pulls information from your platform that says, this is the links that they've got. This is how you can connect them on WhatsApp. But basically everything is hosted from your website. And then it's like it updates from your platform every now and then.
Yeah, so it's something like that, not completely, because most of it is hosted in the browser itself, right? So when a visitor is loading the website for the first time, yeah, then of course everything is coming from me. So the script is identifying which website it's coming from, and then identifies which button is connected to that and loads that button. And then at that moment, it will store it in the browser's cache. So when a user is reloading that website, they don't go to GUI anymore. They just have it already stored in their cache. So it really loads fast and you don't have it, you're not blocking the website. Mm. And then after a while, I think after 15 minutes, something like that, it tries to re-get the newest data and the latest files. So yeah. If there's a change in between, you don't see it immediately, but after 15 minutes, you will see it. Yeah.
Look, I mean, what I've done is I've actually tested it because I do like to have a huge amount of speed on my websites. I don't like external loading of external JavaScripts, and I've sort of like stripped everything down. My Google Analytics is part of the tag manager, my Facebook Pixel is part of the tag manager. So it reduces as much stuff as possible. And in terms of the loading time, I try and make it as fast as possible. And what I've found with your widget, your plugin, your service, is that it is really, really fast. It doesn't, I would say it sort of like adds half a millisecond or 3 milliseconds, if that, from my testing that I've done. And I've sort of like, I've opened an incognito windows, I've deleted cache, and it's very, very fast. How do you manage that? How do you sort of like make it that fast? I mean, are you sort of like, is your code stripped down? Is your code optimized? I assume it is.
Yeah, it is optimized. So I'm using a couple of optimizers and minifiers. They will automatically run when they compile the code. So basically I'm writing it down all in JavaScript, and I have a couple of minifiers and compilers that are just generating like a smaller code, making it really small, removing out all of the comments, all those kinds of things. But also the code itself, yeah, it is quite small actually. I've made it as smart as possible, and I reuse a lot of the things. So for example, if you have like six buttons on it, six helpers, that code will only like load once for all of the six. So there was one piece of code that runs six of those helpers. So you don't have a lot of repeating code. So
that's very clever, because I mean, I've looked at some of your helpers, and you have helpers for call me back, contact form, Discord, Facebook Messenger, Twitter, Snapchat, Drift, Intercom, Instagram. I mean, the list just goes on. So the fact that you can repeat some of that code is just beautiful. In terms of your helpers that you've got, and the helpers are sort of like, contact me via WhatsApp, contact me via whatever. Which is the most, can you tell us like stats about which is the most popular helper?
Yeah, of course. I made that analysis very recently, actually.
Okay.
And interesting thing is that the most common is just email.
Oh, really?
So that's interesting. Yeah, so a lot of people are still using email. Of course, email is a convenient method. And if you're using GUI, I also added email, right? So if somebody wants to use email, convenient, okay, that's fine. Second most used is, what is it? I think it's WhatsApp. So lots of people are using WhatsApp to reach out to their users.
Okay.
And I think the third one is Facebook Messenger. That's also something that really lots of people are using and like to use for contacting their clients.
The difference between using a WhatsApp and a live chat, because the live chats often irritate the crap out of me, being honest,
yeah,
is that the live chats, you sort of like, you have to keep your tab open. You have to remember that this is making noise over here or not. And sometimes the live chats don't. The fact that you've got the ability to have it on your phone as a WhatsApp, it's also brilliant, I think, for startups who have one person who's either the CEO or the founder or something like that, and they sort of like managing the support calls and they don't have to sit in front of their support ticket system the whole time.
Yeah, I also think live chat is really annoying. I do not really like it. And that's indeed because sometimes you don't get a reply, right? Yes. So sometimes it says, okay, you get a reply within a couple of minutes. then you wait a couple of minutes and you don't get a reply. So that's really annoying.
Yes.
Then sometimes you did got a reply, but you did not see it in time. So the live chat person is already gone again. So that's also something that is really annoying to me.
Yeah.
And also you have to keep the tab open. So I'm constantly reminding myself, which I don't really like, okay, I have this tab open, check it, see if it's what's going on. And with WhatsApp and basically all of the other things, I'm using it daily with my friends, with my family, coworkers. So having that open is no issue for me. I constantly have it open. And I really enjoy just sending out a message, and I'm happy to wait a couple of hours to get a reply. That's no issue for me.
Because and actually all the way around. Yeah, it's in someone else's queue now, so they need to respond to you. Yes.
Yeah, and also the other way around. So last week I was eating lunch here at my home, and I got a message on WhatsApp. I thought, okay, who's this? And it was one of my newest customers, and she had a couple of issues where she needed some help with. So I was during lunch. I thought, okay, let's help her in like a couple of minutes, and then see how it goes. And she was really pinging me back and asking more questions, and we really got it resolved in like a couple of minutes. And if you compare that, for example, to email, if I got an email, I really need to think about it, really type a nicely drafted answer, etc. And now I just like fix it up and in a couple of minutes. And then later today, even at that day, I saw that she created a similar account with the same URL. So I thought, okay, maybe something went wrong. So I still had the WhatsApp, so I opened it up and asked her about it. And she said, no, it's fine. It's working very good. And I've created an account for a friend of mine. So it was so easy to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And these things made it very personal, because I could open her picture, see who she was, where she's coming from, etc. So yeah, it makes it much more personal than just a random email or live chat.
The thing that I think you touched on there about the email, I think what we've found with COVID now is that people are more forgiving with people. You have a dog barking in the background. You have your children running around. We've almost sort of like lost the facade of, I'm not going to say professionalism, but almost like we're not human. And I think that when you're talking about the fact that people email and you sort of like have to then email back, there's almost something in email about the fact that you have to type an email a certain way. A WhatsApp, a Facebook Messenger, it's different. You can go back quickly on WhatsApp and say, let me just check, or 2 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, indeed. And it also, of course, is dependent on what kind of customers you have, right? So if you're dealing with large enterprise customers with many different departments, et cetera, okay, maybe it makes sense to send an email.
Yes.
But when you're dealing with smaller companies, often those are also normal people who are working there. So they also really like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or those kinds of platforms. So reaching out with them on that way makes sense, I would say.
And if you're dealing with a company, I don't know, the size of Amazon or something like that, you don't expect the personal response. You expect to be put into a queue to have your support ticket come back in 48 hours or whatever it is. When you're dealing with small people, you want to deal with a small company.
Yeah, but also for Amazon, of course, it depends on what kind of company you have. But in the Netherlands, we have a large e-commerce store, which is competing with Amazon.
Okay.
And they really focus on personal support, personal help. So you always know who is replying. They also provide Facebook, WhatsApp, all of these options. And they really make it a living task for them, so to say, and like the most critical thing, to have a personalized service. And they have like a slogan of providing like a smile for you every day. And I would say that's more of a, I see that more of a future way of working or future way of customer service than doing it on incognito or making it very standoff. Okay, we are this big company, so you get a standardized email. No, it's
yes.
I'm a customer, so you need to help me in the way that I want to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. What kind of platforms are people putting them on, the widget? Is it mainly WordPress? I mean, you can do Shopify, Ghost. There's so many of them that you can do. What is the highest used platform?
Yeah, so it's two. One is just a custom-made website. A lot of people are using that. Of course, what I said earlier, web designers are one of my key customers. So yeah, they also made the website custom-made sometimes. And the other one is WordPress, also one of the majorly used ones. And that's also probably because I've reached out, did some marketing on that platform, created a plugin for it. So everybody had it available for downloading. And when you're searching on WordPress, you can just easily type in chat and at some moment you get Bui, right? So then people are going to try it out and see what it is about. And yeah, it's like almost like a search engine, and that really works well. And people trying it out and then installing it for a couple of times.
So you guys have been running for 6 months now. How mm-hmm. how many installs have you had? Do you have stats that you can give us?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, I checked on yesterday, but yesterday we had 277 accounts.
Brilliant.
So almost 300, and we helped 18,000 visitors. So 18,000 people were visiting a website that had a Bui button on it, and then clicked it on the Bui button to get some support.
Okay, so with the interactions, you can obviously track that as well. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy about it as well, is that with WordPress, you sometimes have a problem with emails going out and things like that. And the fact is that I've had people communicate with me via WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and email. And it just, you can kind of see that the trajectory of interactions that are actually happening on your little graph on your platform, which it makes my heart a little bit happy to go, oh, look at all those people that are interacting.
Yeah, and also wanting to, so at the moment it's quite limited, right? You only have the graph, you can see how many interactions there are. But the data behind it, I'm saving a little bit more. So I'm also working on extending that overview to see, okay, what kind of helpers are people using? What are the stats this week compared to the last week? Where are people coming from, which countries? So these kinds of things I'm going to implement it very soon to get also those analytics there, which basically people can help, because at some moment I think there is quite some differences between countries. So some countries are using different platforms than the others. So I know that in China they have a very large a platform which I unfortunately cannot use yet.
Yes.
Because they didn't make it open for foreigners basically. But I know that in the Netherlands, like almost everybody is using WhatsApp, and probably in other countries it's way different. So then you can also see the differences in each country. And if you're doing like a worldwide a service, you can also maybe in the future determine, okay, which countries are being serviced on which platforms.
So now you've spoken about analytics quite a lot, and I think that's quite important. But you guys in the Netherlands are part of the EU, so you're under the GDPR regulations. So obviously, being part of those regulations, you're not going to have data that can be accessed. You don't have, you obviously have privacy and things in place. So what are those things that you actually are doing to protect people's privacy? Because I think that is obviously one of the most important things, even if other countries don't have as exciting thing as a GDPR.
No, of course, I think privacy is really important. And when I'm visiting a website, I want to be sure that my privacy is being kept safe. So a couple of things out of my heart that I think about: all data is anonymous, right? So I'm not saving anybody's name. Or of course somebody can request their email address, right? So if you fill in the contact form, you need to provide your email address. Those things are not saved. It will only be sent to the company that owns the button, basically. So I'm tracking some anonymous statistics and doing some analytics on those. I think one part of GDPR is that you're able to request all of the data that you have from a company. Of course, that is possible. I'm hiding a lot of the data. So instead of using an IP, which is considered personal data, I'm using something else to determine which visitor is which. So you don't have like an IP that is used. I'm not using cookies. So that's also not, I'm not using that. I don't like cookies, and the cookie banners are really making me crazy at the moment. In the Netherlands, we have every site that you open, you get a cookie banner. And now I think that Apple made a change. So for some reason, they are removing cookies like in after a couple of days. Yeah. So each time you visit the website again, you have to click on the cookie banner again to accept it. It's really annoying. So I don't like cookies, and I'm not using cookies. So those things are my I am doing to protect the privacy of my client, but also of the visitors of my client.
I appreciate that. In South Africa, we've got a thing called the POPI Act, POPI, which is it's just come into effect now. So we've taken a lot of things from the GDPR that we obviously need to have. So yes, we also have the cookie banners and things like that, and we kind of just have it for everyone. So basically, it's your fault, and I'm okay with blaming you. as you've mentioned, you have done a bit of marketing on this. I actually found you on Reddit, and you posted into one of the subs. And when I was looking back now, just to sort of like figure out which sub it was in, I see you posted to probably about 5 or 6 subs. What is if someone else is looking to promote their service? What has worked the best for you in terms of your marketing? Is it Reddit? Is it direct emails?
Yeah, that's also something that I need to find out myself. Okay. So I think I really like developing. That's also something where I'm very comfortable with. And with marketing, I'm much less comfortable. So yeah, I posted on Reddit because I read on the internet most of the people are on Reddit. I wasn't actually not really that much on Reddit. But yeah, as you open my profile, or some people did, you can see I posted a message in a couple of subreddits. Mm. I also did some advertising in Reddit. I haven't found the ideal method. At some moment, I was really getting a lot of traction. I think like 40 new signups from one post in Reddit. But then that post got deleted because apparently it was not in line with their policy, okay, of the specific subreddit. So that was too bad, because a lot of people were liking it and it was like really going well. So that was a little bit too bad. But I think I've seen some traction from indie hackers. Also, Betalist was really helping me a lot. I haven't posted it yet on Product Hunt, but I understood that. Yeah, it can go really well. It can go quite bad. I also found out that all of these things that I'm now mentioning are most often aimed at developers, right? So people like me. And I'm not really sure if that's my target audience. So the target audience is probably more somebody that is not that has a website but is not able to update it themselves, or maybe is able to install like the WordPress plugin. That those kinds of things can really help a person to get started. And the really technical guys, yeah, some of them, maybe they make it themselves. That's fine for me. Mm. But those are not my ideal customers. So that's also something that I need to work on. I need to find out where my customers are. I know that WordPress, people that are using WordPress are really interested in the plugin. So, for example, I need to go to YouTube, find out which kind of YouTube videos there are around WordPress plugins, or write a blog post around it. But yeah, all these kinds of marketing activities, it takes quite some time to do them well. Yeah, so sometimes I have some time to do that, or also some willingness, so to say, because yeah, I do it all at the end of the day. As a hobby, so I don't want to spend full time on marketing at all.
Look, the thing is that on Product Hunt, for instance, yes, there are developers, and I'm a developer, and I'm a coder, and I'm a everything. And if I work on a custom built site, or if I even do a WordPress site, there's so many things that I have to do. This just makes it easier to achieve the goal of communication. And I feel like that some people are actually almost moving away from like a contact page. They just sort of like they're doing pages that are more relevant, and a contact page is almost becoming a little bit obsolete, but obviously people need to be contacted. And having your plugin as a contact page in inverted commas allows people to actually have it done very, very quickly and easily. And I think that you might be wrong about the developers not being your target market. I think developers are trying to get things done as fast as possible, as cleanly as possible. And if you're developing stuff, I would definitely go with the product hunt. I'd reach out to YouTube people who do reviews of plugins. Yeah, I would definitely reach out. There might be ways to cross promote or things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So that's also something that's on my wishing list. And it's also something that I'm struggling sometimes a little bit with. There's only what you said earlier, right? There's only limited amount of time each day that you can work, that you can do something. And doing something that really makes a difference, finding that sweet spot is difficult. Yes. And at least I need to balance between something which I think, okay, this is really cool, I really want to do it. So for example, I'm currently working on automated emails to get like a weekly report. So that's something I find is very cool and very interesting. But yeah, going and finding out who my users are, where they're coming from, how can I get more of those specific users, right? That's something I do not enough, so to say. So I really like to have personal contact with somebody that is using it, but finding something new, yeah, that's something more difficult, at least for me.
Look, you're talking about the sending out email newsletters and the once a week for your stats and everything like that. I saw that obviously on your roadmap, and obviously I'm excited about that. But I also I'm okay with it because I can log into the platform and see what's actually happening in my interactions. What is your favorite feature that you've seen in the roadmap that you kind of go, oh, I hope people vote for that one because that's exactly what I want to do. What's the one that's like is nagging at you?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. Also, I have to open the roadmap actually. But yeah, so the roadmap thing is also another product of mine that I'm at some moment also I'm working on, which is called Product Lift. So it's, yes, it's basically like a roadmap software, and I really like to have to know basically what kind of features people like. So of course, I'm able to think about something, and I can post it in the roadmap, and I often get some emails of people saying, okay, can you add this feature, or maybe can you add that feature? But in general, I would like to know, okay, who is liking which feature, what is most important to focus on, also with the limited number of hours each day. Yes. So, yeah, I'm searching a little bit because on the one hand, I would like to have these votes, but on the other hand, people need to really go to the roadmap and open it up and voting on it. So one thing that I'm basically using it right now is I have all these items that are on it, all these features and newly developed items, and people can like them, but I also can add somebody myself on that specific feature. So if, for example, you like a specific one, I've seen, for example, one here, provide the current user's email address so they don't have to type it in anymore. If you really like it, and you tell me by email or you vote on it, then you automatically will be kept informed about that specific feature. And when it's ready, my system will automatically email the persons that have voted for that feature to get notified, so they immediately know, okay, now it's available and they can use it.
Yeah, look, I think it's really nice. Obviously, there's lots of platforms like that you can sort of like, you can have voting on, and people can have it on GitHub and things like that. But I really like the simplicity of it again. It's not going to be a developer who's going to sort of like go into your website and go, that's stupid and boring. It's going to be the end user who's sort of like, he wants to put onto WordPress, and they go, well, this is nice and simple. I can figure this one out. So, I mean, you've got your simplicity and ease of use throughout all your products that you use and all the products you develop. I'm really enjoying that.
Thanks. Yeah, and I was just looking at the roadmap, but actually I don't think that there's any more that I think is that's super, super cool or super interesting, because when it was there, I really developed it. Yeah, and also when somebody is really asking me, say, okay, can you please develop this? Then it will just go very high to my list of making that feature. Unless I think, okay, this is not in line, this is not for this product, or I should not do this, right? Then of course I'm not doing it. But other than that, I'm almost working on it the next day, right? So to say.
This is a side hustle for you. You're currently still working for Ernestine, yeah? How do people get hold of you? How do people get hold of you in terms of getting your platform to talk to you about this product? What is the best way for people to get hold of you?
Yeah, I would say using the buoy button on my website.
Good
that's
answer.
That's the most convenient one.
Yes.
Then you can select the method that you would like to talk to me. And myself, I like all of them, because otherwise I wouldn't put them on. But I'm most active on WhatsApp, I would say.
So what we'll do is we'll put the website on, it's buoy.help. And then there is your buoy button on the website. And WhatsApp is the top one. Yeah. And your email address is hello@buoy.help. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It was nice to be here. It was great fun to do this.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Welcome back. What we don't cover in this discussion was that Ruben has actually been programming since he was 12. So, what did you think of the interview?
As always, I really enjoyed it.
That's cheating now. You need to say other things. You can't say you just enjoyed it. You must say you hated it, that this relationship's off, that the podcast is done.
I thought that I love the product. I love the service. I think it's really great. I think that it talks to a need in people today and in users. People want convenience, and this is an added level of convenience. I think I said earlier in the introduction that this is meeting people where they are, using the platforms that they're using. And I think Ruben covered that in your conversation with him, saying that if somebody uses WhatsApp, they want to use WhatsApp, they should have that choice. I think it was also really interesting to talk about live chat. I know we've had instances where we getting support on a software program, and the live chat takes forever, or you need to go somewhere. It's just not mobile. It's not moving with you.
You
it's sitting on
tab.
Your laptop. It's sitting on your desktop or whatever. Yeah. It's not convenient. I think this is more convenient, and it gives that personalized face to the interaction, which is really great. I mean, we've had on one of our websites, a person WhatsApp us literally in the middle of the night that we saw the next morning,
yes,
saying we've been hacked, please, you know, help us urgently,
yes,
which we were able to do the very next morning. Obviously, we like the product. We have been using the product for the past 6 months. I was amazed that's, you know, how long this has been around for. I think that's absolutely amazing. I think that he's done really well, and I think that's incredible that there's 18,000 people and almost 300 customers using this. I think that's great. I love that, and I love that Spark, as he said, he's getting, you know, people from Greece and all over the world now contacting him, and it will grow exponentially because it's a great product. It really is.
So the people who should listen to this podcast episode are developers, programmers, any kind of entrepreneur that's looking to do something on the side, or has got an idea that they have thought about for years and they want to sort of make it real. On a personal note, I really enjoyed listening to Ruben's accent. My father was from The Hague, which I mentioned in the episode, but he died when I was 11. And the Dutch accent has a special place for me.
Yeah. I was surprised that the thing you didn't mention was that we really enjoyed the Dutch people. They were so warm. We found some countries in Europe, in terms of the people, a little bit cooler, shall we say.
Mm.
But the Dutch people were very warm. And also the accent's quite warm. It's quite round. It's not too high. It's not too low. I quite enjoyed that, yeah.
Okay, so you say that Dutch people are nice. And yes, majority of the Dutch people are nice. But let me just sort of like call out this. We were in a beachfront town in the north of Holland. It was the middle of December. It was sort of like basically Christmas Eve.
There was snow all around. It was blimming cold. And these little children, these little snots, threw snowballs at me. Look, I am 6'6", so it was like hitting the broadside of a barn, as people say. But it was cold. It went down the back of my shirt. And as an ex-teacher, I have a look. You know, sort of like one of those teacher looks where you sort of like you stare into people's souls. I don't think it translated into Dutch because they giggled and ran away.
Yeah, it definitely didn't translate into Dutch. Not that, apparently that look isn't universal. It isn't a universal language as much as an ex-South African teacher would like to think it is. But we had fun and it was a wonderful trip anyway.
Yes. But those children, you watch out. It's probably 10 years later
now. I don't think they're children anymore.
I don't think they're children anymore.
What I really love about Ruben's product, Boy, is that it meets people where they are and on the platform that they prefer to use. It doesn't say introduce another platform, introduce another messaging service or whatever. It allows them to choose. It puts the user in control, which is really great. And it also makes it easier and simpler. I was having a conversation with a client the other day. Years ago, I used to think that emailing somebody was the most considerate way to communicate with somebody because everything's in writing, you can refer back to it. I enjoy writing, so I don't mind that. And it also means that the person you're sending it to, the receiver, can engage with the communication when they choose. You know, if it's in the middle of the night and you send an email, the person can choose when they're going to deal with that email. But that's not the most comfortable medium for everybody. Some people prefer to talk. So some people want to call you and they prefer or feel that they communicate and express themselves better in a conversation. So that's their choice. Other people want a WhatsApp. So I think that's really interesting. And I think that this product allows for that. It allows for different ways of communication. It allows us to be who we are and use the platform that we prefer to use.
Agreed. And going back to the emailing, what I've found is that I sometimes need to communicate a long technical thing. So rather than communicating in an email where you have to read, I sometimes record a screenshot or a screen grab of me either talking or me doing a presentation or a demo on my screen using a product like Bonjoro. And it just allows the person to watch it in their own time at their own speed. And if they didn't understand it the first time, they could re-watch it. And if you've ever seen a page full of information in an email, it's sometimes very
intimidating.
It is intimidating, yes.
Yeah. And it can be energy sapping. Whereas getting a video from somebody is actually quite engaging.
Mm.
And we know that people engage better because of our online courses. We know that information retention is much better when humans watch videos or hear things like they learn from an auditory perspective. And I think also it immediately makes it again more personalized, which is exactly what Ruben's done with this widget that he's developed. I also really liked his roadmap software. I thought that was really cool.
Product Lift.
Yes, Product Lift.
I like the name too.
Yes, it's lovely. It's really lovely. So basically the roadmap says, this is the roadmap for the software. These are the features that we're looking at developing and you can vote on it and say, okay, I really like this feature. I think this is important. And from a developer's perspective, it will prioritize that for them. So it will say,
and it will validate the idea.
Yes.
If they think they wake up in the morning, this is a brilliant idea. I really think everyone is going to want this idea.
Yeah.
If no one votes for it, you might be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And you're exactly right. That's really great because it validates the idea and it means that he and whoever else uses this product of his doesn't have to go and put the development and the time and the effort and the hard hours and in the late nights and whatnot to develop something that might not be used. You might have 10 ideas and this way you go, okay, I'll allow my clients to prioritize my workflow for me.
And if you do have an idea for Boy, go onto the website boy.help and right at the bottom, there is a link to the roadmap. And if you have an idea of things that you want to have done, either contact Ruben directly using his Boy button. And he said he did like WhatsApp. So try and do anything except for WhatsApp. No, I'm joshing, as the children say. Do they still say that? I don't know.
That sounds like some old British lady says that, not a child, but anyway.
So go onto his buoy button and say, this is what I'm looking for. Or go onto his roadmap and suggest the idea. Give him as much information about it as possible. Detail what you're actually looking for, why it would make sense for you to have it in this. And then make a whole bunch of other email addresses and upvote it.
That's the other thing that's really great about the Product Lift software, is that you can comment on an existing idea. You can add an idea that the developer doesn't have as yet. You can also tweak an idea. You can say, okay, I like that idea, but I would like this thing added to that. I think it's really great.
Mm. So well done, Ruben. You've got two products that we quite enjoy, and we're quite jealous now.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to other products that Ruben develops in the future, because we're certainly fans of his already.
So to get more information about this episode, please go to taming.tech/4. That is the number 4. And all the show notes with all the links and all the resources that we've spoken about, including a transcript, will be found on that page.
Subscribe to us.
Yeah. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts.
And Spotify.
And wherever you can find your podcasts.
Absolutely. So that you don't miss out on future episodes. Let us know if you have any ideas on guests that you would like us to interview.
Yeah. And if you have any guests that you'd like us to interview, please send the details through to podcast@taming.tech, and we will see if they are good enough.
We have a real treat for you in our next episode. We are interviewing Jenna Birchall. Jenna Birchall is a sculptor who integrates technology into her sculptures, which brings them alive, makes them almost sentient. It just becomes this.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Ethereal.
It's an experience. It really is. She's sold works around the world, and we hope you'll join us in our episode next week to find out more about her and about her work.
Thanks so much.
Ciao.